Hello, and welcome to podcast episode number 7. I'm Jane Hamill from Fashion Brain Academy, and today we are talking about what retail buyers will never tell you, what's going on in their brains that they're thinking but they're not going to tell the designer. So buckle up. We're going to get some brutal truth here, and I want to thank everybody who's listening. Seriously, thank you. You guys have been so tremendous and supportive of this new podcast, and I can't tell you how much I love getting the replies, the Facebook comments, the likes, and the comments on the blog. This podcast has been such a blast. I had no idea how much fun it would be to have this interactive part. You know, the action is happening, you know, after I do the podcast, and I love it. So thanks again for all your comments and all your support, and keep them coming. I love it. So let's jump in to our today's topic. So as many of you know, I was a designer and a buyer for 14 years. I had my line and I had a retail store. And there's a lot I learned about which lines a buyer is going to buy from being a buyer. And after I sold my business, I also started working for a company called Retail Mavens. And I just love Kathy as the owner of Retail Mavens, and I did retail consulting for boutiques. I did open-to-buy planning, forecasting, and helping them with their marketing for specialty stores. And I loved it. It was great. Then I started Fashion Brain and started working just with designers. Now, I still have a few of those retail clients left who I love. I don't take new retail clients, but I do. Some of the designers do have retail stores too. But I still have a few of those. And the other place where I'm getting the information for this podcast today is a while back I was the moderator for an event called Meet the Buyers. And we had 3 retail buyers at this event who shared a lot of information with the group and the audience, and it was great. And then after the event, they shared some private things with me too, which they wouldn't share with a whole big group with a microphone in front of them, but things that they would tell a fellow retailer. So it was really great, and I'm always learning, and I learned a lot that day too. So let's jump into the content. Here's the truth. Most people want to be nice. They don't want to hurt your feelings. And often this means that they don't tell you what they're really thinking. Now, this works great in our regular, everyday, polite society because nobody really wants to know, you know, hey, my butt looks fat in these jeans or my hair is looking frizzy or, you know, you really talk too much, you know. You get the idea. You don't want the brutal truth in your everyday life. But a lack of honest feedback in a retail sales situation can really hurt your business. It can hurt how much you can sell because you don't know why they're not interested. So you need to hear the truth. You want the truth so you can tweak your line if it's necessary, so you can learn what, if anything, you may be doing wrong. And you want the truth so you can get that order. So listen in to today's podcast here, and I'm going to spill the beans on what buyers are really thinking, but they're not saying. Brutal truth and all right? So here we go. The first thing that buyers are thinking, but they're not telling you, is, I think this might be poor construction. One buyer I spoke with in the designer market, she has a true designer store, Alexander Wang, you know, very lovely things. She said that she has said to designers in the past, you know, I'm not sure if the quality fits the price. And obviously what she's saying is, I don't think your quality is good enough. The construction is not right. What she found was that the designers would get defensive and it became very uncomfortable. So she stopped telling people that because she felt they just didn't want to hear it. So now I asked her, so what do you say instead? And she said, oh, I say all kinds of things like it's not right for me, or I just say anything because I don't want to tell them the reason, because it's uncomfortable. And I did it about 6 times telling people I didn't think the quality fit the price, and it never went well. So check it out. Be honest when you look at your pieces. Does the quality and the construction truly suit the price that you're charging? Is it equivalent to the marketplace that you're in? If you're hanging with certain lines, does your quality look the same as theirs? I'm not expecting that you're going to have designer finishings and a contemporary price line. However, make sure that you truly can hang with the other lines in your market, okay? All right. And many retailers are worried about this. And sometimes they've had designers even say, well, these are just a sample. The production's going to look better. You know, how do I know that as the buyer? What makes me believe you, right? So this is a reason that they don't buy. Number two, what they're thinking but they don't say is, I'm afraid the fit is going to be off. They're worried about poor fit, or maybe they're seeing that it is poor fit. But even if they don't already see, like, oh, these samples are not fitting right, they're worried it's going to be bad fit because you're a new designer. Many retailers have shared with me, and I know this is a big reason I didn't buy, is that they don't want to pick up a new line until this designer has shipped a few seasons already and perfected the fit. Now, I realize it's a chicken and egg kind of thing. Well, how am I ever going to get in the store if I'm new and the buyer's saying, I'm not going to buy you because you're new? Well, that's a different day for a different podcast. But let's now just focus on the fact that they're afraid that the fit is wrong, even if they don't tell you that. So it's kind of up to you to prove that the fit is right. Maybe you can explain to them if you have a really good production team, if you have people with a lot of experience on your staff, or you're using some consultants in that area, if you have a veteran pattern maker or people who've been in the industry for a long time working on your production. These things can go a long way to make a retailer feel comfortable. And truthfully, ask yourself, do I have the fit to back this up? How am I going to reassure this buyer that my fit will be right? How are you going to overcome their objections and their worry about the fit, which may or may not be stated, and it may or may not be conscious in the retailer's mind? They've just been burned before by emerging designers with the fit that wasn't right. So this kind of overcoming their objections before they even state them, it's something we go over very much in my online course, How to Sell Your Line to Boutiques. So if you want to go and do a deep dive on selling and what you can do to really get the order, I recommend that course. You'll find it on my site, Fashion Brain Academy, and it's under, should be under training courses. All right, so the other thing about the fit, and it's not necessarily that it's a poor fit or a bad fit, it's just, is the fit right for their store? So the way people wear their clothes and how tight they are and things is going to be different in Miami and LA than the way the fit is in, say, New York or Chicago or even San Francisco. So really think about the store and think about what fit is right for them, and as well as, like I mentioned, how to overcome their objections, whether they tell you about it or not, that they're worried about the fit because you're a new designer. Number three, the third thing that retailers are thinking, but probably not telling you, is that they are really worried about emerging designers having poor customer service and a lack of response when there is an issue. I can't tell you how much retailers complain about this with new designers. It's truly a pain point, and you should know about it. Every single vendor and designer calls them and hounds them for an appointment. Please see my line. Please come to my booth at the trade show. Let me come to your store. Get your order in. I mean, they're calling and calling and calling. And then if they do write the order and they have a problem, they have a question, they have an issue with the delivery, it's crickets from the designer. They can't get a hold of anybody, and they get super frustrated. So whether this is an issue that you actually are causing or not, it doesn't matter. The retailers are concerned, and they have an aversion sometimes to emerging designers because they're afraid they're not going to get a response and they're not going to be taken care of. The thing of it is, they know that big companies, established brands, have systems for customer service already in place. And retailers know this. They know, hey, if I buy from BCBG, they have a whole customer service department and a whole system for sending in a return and getting a return authorization and all of that. So part of being a salesperson and part of being a designer and being a business owner and truly being in business at all is solving problems for your customers. The sale, you know, really the process starts when you get the sale, right? It's not, I mean, I know it's about getting the sale, but once you get that sale, that's a whole new set of a relationship that you have with that customer. I'm going to give you two examples of this type of thing and having a responsive company. The first is a company called Charlotte Tarantola, and I used to buy her line when I had my store. And Charlotte Tarantola does knits that are really funky, they're cool, they're floral-based, and Charlotte herself is a lovely person. If there was an issue with a sweater from Charlotte Tarantola, we would send in the reason, the issue. We would immediately get a response back saying, okay, I understand, you know, three of the sweaters are good, but one of them had the buttons off. We'll send you a call tag today, and here's your return authorization number. So not only did they get back to us usually within a day, but they sent a call tag via UPS, so we didn't have to pay for the return. So what happened then is I started to really trust Charlotte Tarantola as a brand. And when I'd go to market and place an order, I would take risks that I wouldn't normally take with other companies. I'd write a bigger order. I'd try designs that I didn't know if they'd work or not, knowing that that company was going to take care of me. Now, it wasn't consignment. It's not a revolving door where, oh, I ordered the wrong thing. I'm going to send it back, and Charlotte Tarantola will take anything. It wasn't like that at all. It was simply knowing that they cared and they responded when I had an issue. It was great. The second example is a company called Billy Blues, and I don't think they're in business anymore. The great thing about Billy Blues was a salesperson, Helen was her name, and she was so great. And they're based in L.A., and for some reason, Helen was just better than any other salesperson I ever had. And I guess the reason really was that she understood my store like that. She asked about my customer. She looked at whether other lines were carrying. She looked at my line. You know, in my boutique, about 60% of the clothes were the Jane Hamill brand, and then the rest of them we bought from other lines. And so she just got my customer, and she truly cared which pieces I bought because she wanted them to sell. She didn't want to just sell me. She wanted her pieces to retail for me so I would trust her and order more. So if I would go to Helen and say, hey, I'm thinking of getting this, I knew she would tell me the truth. And she'd say, dude, no, that's not going to be great for you. I don't think so. You can try it, but I don't think it's going to be great. This, however, I mean, you sold this last year, and this is the same body. We have it in three colors. She would guide me with the order, and I trusted her. She trusted me, and we had a nice relationship. So this is a business of relationships. Don't ever forget it. And by the way, don't be thinking that these retail buyers are not talking to each other about the lines they buy. That lunch line at the Coterie trade show is a hoppin'. Trust me on that. Oh, you buy Charlotte? I buy Charlotte. Oh, we had so many problems. So did we. They're not fitting. They're not getting back to me. Or, oh, you buy this? I buy this. Oh, they're great. I love working with them. You know, word gets around. Especially, I mean, we live in a digital age, of course, but truthfully, these buyers know each other from the trade shows, or they just chat at the lunch counter. Not really a lunch counter, but at the lunch that they have at the trade show. So they get to know each other and they talk, all right? So I hope that this will help you kind of know what to look for in your line and what to think, oh, what are their objections before I even show up for the appointment? So let's recap what we discussed. The first one, they're worried about poor construction. Number two, they're worried about the fit and if it's going to be right at all or even right for their customer. Number three, they're worried about poor customer service from emerging designers and a lack of response if there is an issue with something they've ordered. True pain point for retailers. I will guarantee you that. So tell me what you think. Did you like this podcast? If you did, could you please hit the like button. Let me know. Share it with your friends. Post it on social media. I would love that. And most of all, I want to hear from you. What do you think? Which of these three things do you think has happened to you? Have you had a buyer appointment and either maybe they told you a reason you thought it was false or they didn't tell you and now you're thinking, oh, I bet she's worried about this? let me know in the comments below. Let me know what worked, what didn't work, because I think we all could learn a lot from each other. Like I said, the best part of this podcast is the comments and the feedback that I get from you when it's over. So thank you so much for listening, and have a terrific day. We'll see you on the next episode. Take care. Bye-bye.